Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, as we'll continue on in our study in 13 and the finish of our this great book. But we'll be looking at Hebrews 13, 17 through 19. Hebrews 13, 17 through 19. And I pray, take your Word of God, whether it's electronically or in your hand, or if there's a pew Bible in front of you, and turn to Hebrews 13 and 17 through 19 and open it up, because we're getting ready to read it, stand and honor God's Word through reading it. It's so important that we do that, so that you know that when I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching you, thus says the Word of God. You hear me say that many times. That's your responsibility as a congregation, to keep the man of God that preaching you the Word of God. And so we open it and we read it to keep me in line with what the Word of God says. And so Hebrews 13, and it says 17 through 19, it says this: obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us. For we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Forever, O Word, thy Lord is Lord, your word is settled in heaven. I pray, dear God, that you will speak to our hearts. God, touches right where we're at, where we need it. God, thank you. Do your work like only the Holy Spirit can, and thank you for the privilege. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. When we think about the word duty, Christian duty is the title of this. We think about the privileges that we have as God's children, as God's people. This is a privilege, by the way, that we meet. Look around. This is your brothers and sisters in Christ, regardless if you're visiting with us or you're a member. This is a privilege that we get to come together and worship the Almighty God. And that we had a prayer room a little bit ago. What a privilege that we can meet together and pray together and lift up needs. And how many needs have we seen met in that prayer room time and time again? What a privilege that it is as God's children. But you know what? Privilege is always goes hand in hand with duty. What is duty? Well, duty would be our spiritual, what we are, obligation to God. Our spiritual obligation. If you remember last time, as we were in Hebrews chapter 13, we were talking about Christian living, and the author was saying some of the things that we are to do in our Christian living, or as our Christian duty, is to separate ourselves from the world. Remember, we talked about that. Separate ourselves. We're not to look or act like the world. We're to offer up the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Remember that? And then he says also, he's saying, do good to others. Share and help one another. And we were talking about that when we leave here is really when we take this, what we learn, outside the doors into our communities, into the world, and we share and we practice and we reach out to others in Jesus' name. And so as we continue on in this mindset or this understanding, it said that in verse 16, said, with this, God is pleased. Don't we want to please God? We want to be about pleasing God as His children. We all, if we're a parent or we grew up with parents, one thing that we wanted to do is we wanted to please our parents. I hope we did if you were a good kid, right? Sometimes you say, I don't know about that sometimes. But listen, we wanted to please our parents. We wanted to be good children. We wanted to bring a smile upon our parents' face, our face, or we wanted them to be approved of us. Well, think about God as our Heavenly Father and Jesus as our Savior, as He came to walk this earth and He saved us out of a life of sin. And we want to please Him. I do. I want to please Him. I want to make my Heavenly Father, I want to feel His pleasure. And so as we get to this point in Hebrews chapter 13, he's continuing on with his duty, this spiritual obligation that we have as God's children. And so I want us to think about this duty as it has to do with Christian leadership or church leadership. I want you to know, as you preach expositionally through the Bible and you preach chapter by chapter and verse by verse, you preach everything. And this is not a self-help sermon today, okay? This is one of them sermons that a pastor would say, I better not preach about that because it sounds like he's telling the people, you need to obey me. Which that is far from the truth. I want you to know that this morning. And so when we get to this part of Hebrews chapter 13, which, by the way, thank you for the gifts for 5 years. I cannot tell you how fast 5 years has went. And to be honest with you, I feel like we're just getting started. Can anybody say amen? And God has such great things that He wants from us and directions. I have such, in my mind, I have these things that I feel like God wants us to do as a church. I'm so thankful for that. That comes from God. It didn't come from me. And so I'm thankful to be your pastor. But as we learn this, as we get to this point, He's showing us that there's some duty that we have as Christians to our leadership and our church. Do you understand that God puts the leadership in our church? God places men in leadership roles and leadership areas. And so when we see this, I want us to look at this author as he's finishing up Hebrews, as he's preaching and teaching to this church, the context of these verses, that he's telling them, if we want to be a healthy church, if we want to have these things right, there's some of these things that we need to get in line and understand. And that has to do with the leadership of our church. First, I want you to see just 2 points. Submission to leaders. Look at verse 17 and what it says. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. When we hear, there's a couple words there when we hear that. Why is it in our human self we don't like? A couple words is what? Obey and be submissive. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear those things, it's like I want get my dander up, right? We don't like that. Why do we not like that as human beings, as Americans especially? We're taught individualism in America, in our culture. We're taught to be strong on our own, to stand on ourselves, these kind of things. And I want you to know something, that individualism does not work in God's house, in God's people. It's not about individual, but it's a body, he says, that comes together and works together as one to make much of Him. Yes, we're individuals, but it's not in the strength of the individual. It's in the strength of the group, in the strength of the body, in the strength of God's children. And so when we see this and we hear those words, understand this is God's Word. And if we don't like it or something, we need to understand why. We need to search in ourselves, because it has to do with we want to do what we want to do. And we don't want anybody telling us what to do, now do we? But I want you to know something, that we are all under authority of something. And we're going to see that. That's what he's speaking about here. And we'll see that fleshed out as we go through this. It's amazing to me how many pastors, and we've had some pastors, we're getting ready to have a great pastor come June 2nd through the 5th. And when they come here, I get to spend time with them. I'll take them out and we'll fellowship together. And it's amazing to me when you're with that pastor and you take him outside of his place and where he serves and all, how many of them are hurting? How many of them have hardship? How many of them, when they feel comfortable enough to talk to you, they'll talk about these things and how, not complaining, but it just shows the weight, and they need to talk to somebody that they can trust. And they find that trust in another pastor. And so I can't think of probably an occupation that has more oppression or more attack or more weight that comes with it as being a pastor. Now, there's a fine line to that. It's one of the greatest things that you'll ever do, God calls you to do. You get to be involved with your people that you love, life and death, life and death. Let me give you an example. This week, Meg and Terrell Williams had their little baby boy, Bryson. We got to go up and hold him. Wow, beautiful that boy is. But also this week, Brian's Nana, his daddy's mama, passed away at 100 years old. Life and death that goes on, and we're a part of that in each person's family. And I count that a high privilege. To me, that's the highest privilege of being your pastor, is that you invite me in at some of the most precious moments of your life, and I get to be a part of that. But I want you to know also there comes a weight with that. There's a weight of that. Why? Because if you really care and you really love, then you go through all that with each person, and you find yourself grieving, and you find yourself hurt, and it should be that way. Why? We're all together. We're all same. And when one hurts, we should all hurt. When one has joy, we should all have joy. And so when he's speaking here, he's talking about, look, this leadership that he's given us. He said, we're not dealing with opinions. He's not talking about a person's opinions, which, by the way, the America tells you my opinion counts, and it's oftentimes it's better than yours. And can I say amen to that? Most of the time your opinion is better than mine. But we're not talking about opinions. We're talking about the Word of God. You don't need my opinion. You don't need my agendas. You don't need me trying to steer you the way that you think you should. You need, thus says the Word of God. And the Word of God will direct your path. And when you stand, and when I stand here, I'm accountable to make sure that I preach you, thus says the Word of God. It's not about opinions. And so when we see that, he's talking about this, and pastors are beat to death by our culture. And most of the time they're beat to death by people wanting their own way. Well, come on, we like our own way, don't we? We just do. We're taught that. We're taught we want it comfortable. And here the truth of the matter is, and you've heard me say this about South Fork Baptist Church, you could not put us all in here standing face to face with the people that's went to South Fork Baptist Church. My goodness, you go up here. Oh, I used to go to South Fork Baptist. You visit people and it's like, what in the world happened then? What's happened? Why is this place not busting out the seams? Why are we not out here winning the lost? Why are we not making differences? Because people do church the way they do everything else. When it gets old, when it's not lining up what they think, or they don't like the pastor, or these kind of things, they just go on to the next place. Now, there's a time when you should leave your church. If the pastor's not lining up with this word, I don't line up, go out that door. You don't need to be in a church that's teaching heresy or not teaching the Word of God or not living by the God. You do not. But I want you to know if he's living in, by this Word and he's leading you by this Word, we should follow him. We should follow him. And so he's saying this submission is just obedience. It's obedience to what? Not a man, to the Word. It's not the man, it's the Word that the man preaches that we're all obedient to. And so I want you to think about the nature of this leader that he's speaking about. First, it's pastoral leadership. Look what it says, for they watch out for your souls. This is the role of a shepherd. They watch out for what? Your souls. Do you know that your soul is what means the most to me? I want everybody sitting in this room in the sound of my voice to know that I love you, but your salvation is the most important thing to me. Why? Why? Because that's the position God has placed me in. To love you, not just your personality. Some of you, I love your personality. Some of you, it's hard. Sometimes it's rough, just like me, right? That's okay. I care about your soul, though. I care that one day when we get to eternity and this life is over and we breathe our last breath, that I want each and every person that sat under the sound of my voice to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior from the least to the oldest. I want them to know Christ and to know the power of Christ in their life. I've got to see some of your babies grow up, and I've got to see and love on them and care about them. But you know what? I pray, and they're so precious, these kids, but those kids represent a soul to me. And I get some of them, I get to baptize and lead to the Lord. Woo, that's good stuff. That's what it's about. But this is what he's talking about. He's talking about this. The word watch is actually referring to the watchman on the wall. Listen, he's not out there for the scenery. He's not out there to see, ooh, it looks so beautiful. He's out there looking for the enemy. He's watching for the enemy and as he attacks. And when he comes into your life, and when you come and we share, he wants to take the Word of God and to pour into you. And to love you, if you've ever said in any kind of counsel with me at all, it's based upon the Bible and what the Word of God says. Why? Because my words will not help you, but His words will. Can anybody say amen? And so, 1 Peter says this. 1 Peter 5, 3 through 2 says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. What a challenge to leaders and Christian leaders. All Christians are called into obedience. Obedience to what? To authority, the Word of God, not an authoritarian leader that's telling you, do this, do that. No, we all obey the same standard. What is it? It is the Word of God. This is what we are to be obedient to. Not a man, not what a man says. Get in the Word of God yourself and make sure that the man is preaching you the Word of God. That's your responsibility. God wrote this. Through many years and through many men, it is inspired. It is inerrant. It is holy. It is God's Word. How much do you read it? Is it just on Sunday morning that you get a fix? I want you to tell you something. If I just ate on Sunday morning, this thing I'm trying to get off of me, it wouldn't be there. I'd be a little on skin and bones, wouldn't I? I'm telling you, physically, we understand that. Do you just eat one time a week? That'd be a big old meal, wouldn't it, Ted? Huh? If I knew I wasn't going to eat, listen. This spiritually, you've got to nourish in this. You've got to feast off of it. You've got to eat it and nourish off of it spiritually to grow. If you want to grow, if you understand, why am I not growing? Are you eating and digesting the Word of God? And he's telling them here, he's saying, your church leaders follow the Scripture. And when they follow the Scripture, then you follow me as I follow Christ, is what Paul said. He said, for they watch out for your soul. So first it's pastoral leadership, but not only that, look, it's accountable leadership. Look at, and it's those who must give an account. And I want you to understand this. There's going to be a day that the books are open. And I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to give an account. I'm going to give an account for what? What I have taught you as a pastor. What I have stood up here or down in my Sunday school class. What I teach you from the Word of God. I will give an account for that. The Scripture tells that. James 3:1 says, don't desire to be a teacher. Why? Because you'll give greater account. Now, Sunday school teachers, take that to heart. Those that teach the Word of God, we will give an account. And I don't take that lightly. Whew. Think about that. Because if you manipulate these things to say what you want it to, or to try to, or you're preaching towards somebody or a situation, listen, that's a good old word, right? That ain't what you need. You need the Word of God and allow it to work on your heart. And when you preach that Word of God, we stand accountable. He says what? To keep watch over you as men, and give that, you'll give an account for that. Matthew 28, we know the Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. And Jesus tells us to go ye therefore and do what? Make disciples, don't he? Baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he also goes on in verse 19 and he says this, or verse 20, teaching them to observe all things taught you. How do we do that? Right here. Right here. Teaching them to deserve all things I've taught you. We teach through the Scripture, through the book, through God's Word. And he's saying that we're accountable for what we do that. We're accountable for carrying out that Great Commission by teaching those. Where is it found? It's found in the book. Remember verse 9 of this same chapter, and what it says right here. It says, do not be carried away about by various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. He said, how are we not carried away by strange doctrine? How is it that somebody can't get up here and teach you something that's totally contrary to God's Word? Is that you know God's Word. When you hear it, you think, oh, wait a minute. That's not lining up somewhere. You're a student of God's Word, and the way that we're not carried away by various doctrines, the way that you know what you stand upon in this world that's full of agendas, in this world that tells you this and that, how do you know it's the truth? Because it lines up with God's Word. And you make your decisions based on God's Word, not on your feelings, not on your emotions, not on what you think, but what thus says the Word of God. Keep us out of a lot of trouble, won't it? Answer a lot of questions, too, by the way. It's accountable leadership. Listen, my personality won't help you. My opinions won't help you. My debonair good looks won't help you. But I do have something that will. I went through the line. Elmer James lost his wife, pastored 40 years out at Prophet's Grove. lost Diane. Really didn't lose her. You can't lose something when you know where it's at. But as I went through that line and come upon that man sitting there, that man of God, and I thought, man, I can't even comprehend what he's going through to lose your wife, your best friend, your mate, your one that's in ministry with you. And I said, I just told him, I said, Delmer, I can't even comprehend. I can't even say that I imagine what you're feeling right now. But you know what I said? But I know one that does. But I know one that does. And I'll lift you up to him. See, that's the best thing that we can do. Is what we study and we, the Word of God is that brings us. The Word of God is that which changes us. Nobody here has ever been saved or come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ without the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit of God. None of us. So how important is it that we know it? We're accountable to God. The leaders of the church are accountable. We submit because it's the right, it's lined up and it's right with the Word of God. That's the only time that we submit to these things. It's the authority in our life, all of us. Why? He says we submit to one another as we submit to Christ. And it says so that our work will be done with joy and not with grief. I like what Peterson's message says. Try to make their work a pleasure and not a burden. And he goes on to say, because that's profitable. It will be unprofitable for you to make it a burden. Why is that? I have learned a long time ago, I don't touch God's man. I let God take care of it. And when I slander him or I say something, that comes back on me. You can ask Sandy. I think the only reason I'm a pastor today is because I was always friends to pastors. Always. Love these guys and kept them, and they would tell me things they wouldn't tell anybody else, and I kept it, and I buried it with them, and I really believe that God said, hey, I'm just going to make you one of them too. I'm thankful that he did. I would not have chose this, by the way. I didn't choose this. Yet God chose it for me. I want you to know something. When you had weeks like you've had this week, and you hear news and stuff like that, sometimes I'll just say, man, I just want to give up. Forget it. But you know what? It's not in me. It's the call that holds you. And if you're not called, you better not stand in this place. It's the call that holds us as God's people. It's the call because man will let you down. But Jesus never will. And if we follow him and we search after him to please him and not please man, listen. It gets rough sometimes, and the boat gets rocky. But praise God, in the storms of life, he's in this boat with us. He didn't say he'd keep you out of it. He just said, I'll see you through it. Praise God. So it's accountable leadership that we see here. If I'm teaching heresy, it's your responsible to call me out. If I'm not, then you follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. So submission to leaders we see first, but next, listen. It's supplication for leaders. Verses 18 and 19 says, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorable. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. What a great statement. You know what the author's saying here? My conscience is clear. Can you say that? Something to think about before the Lord. My conscience is clear is what the author is saying. Paul said this same thing in 1 Corinthians 4:4. He said, for I know of nothing against myself. What a great thing to be able to say. Yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges the Lord. Paul says, it's not my conscience that justifies me. It's God. You know what the writer's saying? Pray, not that he had a problem, but he's saying, pray that I can come to see you again. Verse 19, he said, if you don't pray, I don't know if I'll make it back to you. And his heart was to come back to see his people. How should we pray for our leaders? I've read of many stories about great revivals and miracles that has happened when God's people pray. In fact, every great awakening started with prayer and people praying. Charles Spurgeon in his sermons listen May 27th, which is not too far from here, May 27th, 1855, but it's been a little while ago. 1855, at the end of his sermon, this is what he said, my people, shall I ever lose your prayers? He said, I feel that you have not prayed as you should. You know why? His sermon wasn't that powerful. And he's saying, hey, you haven't prayed like you should. So if the sermon's sometimes boring, then maybe you haven't prayed like you should for your pastor. I like that, Charles. But let me ask you this, honestly, before the Lord, not raising hand. How many of you prayed for me this week? How many of you prayed for your pastor? How many of you pray and lift him up before the Lord Jesus? Because I'm going to tell you, how many of you have prayed for our revival that's coming up, 2nd through the 5th? How many of you have earnestly sought the Lord and said, Lord, for this church, for South Fork, and this church and this body of believers, how many of us have stood in the gap? Oh, somebody's legs hurting or knee, we'll lift that up. But what about the spiritual health of our church and its leaders and its people? Well, it gets in a quick when we think about that. I can tell you this. I can tell when the fire's resting here, and I can tell when it's not. And sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's you. We started several, well, it's been a couple years now. We started on Wednesday nights. It used to be prayer meeting, right? That's what everybody remembered, prayer meeting. And somehow or another, we got away from praying on Wednesday night. That's what it was set up for. We've started back the first 20 minutes or so or better is prayer time. We take up physical needs. We pray for them. We pray for the church needs. And then we gather around this altar on Wednesday nights. And we pray for lost people, our greatest need. I cannot tell you the changes that I've seen that's happened in those couple years of people just willing to come around God's altar and pray. The salvations and the baptisms and the things that we've seen since that started happening, I attribute that to God's people praying. You want to see a difference in our world, in our culture, in our communities, in our church, in our pastor? Pray. Pray. What would happen if we all decided to pray for our church and its leaders? Purpose to pray for me and Lee and the leadership of this church. Purpose, all the Sunday school teachers, everybody that teaches all these things, purpose to pray as a group and see what happens. See what God will do. It's not about the individualism of America. It's about the unitedness of our churches. God's people coming together and praying and seeking Him. You'll not see the movement that you want to see until you get earnest in your prayer time. That's just the way that it is. I need your prayers. Applications, and we're done. Come pray, Linda. Let me ask you this. Are you involved in the mission of the church? Are you? What does your life look like in your priorities? If you could take and list out your priorities, how would they look? How would they look if you listed out 1, 2, 3, 4? What would your priorities look like? What would be the first priority? And you list it out because the truth of the matter is, whether you list it out or not, your life plays it out. And if it's career, it's taking care of the kids and all this, if it comes before Jesus, it's out of whack. It has to be Christ first. And all the rest of it fall into place. But are you involved in the mission of the church? What is the mission of the church? If you don't know it, you're already in trouble. The mission of the church is to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is to represent Christ out in a lost world. It is to shine the light and be the salt in this dark world. Are you involved in that mission? Or are you just too busy? One day you'll stand before Him just like I said. You'll give an account. Which, by the way, I'm not accountable to you. I'm accountable for you. Number two, do you pray for South Fork and its leaders? Only God knows that. Only you can answer that. Number three, stand to your feet. Will you pray now? I'm just asking. Will people please, let's gather around this altar. I'm so tired of sitting here and pouring out myself every Sunday and people not coming. Come up here and let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our country. It don't matter if you're visiting or not. You're with family. You come on up and pray. Father, you see your people. Thank you. Thank you for people that are willing to bow their knee before their Heavenly Father, Lord, regardless if they're here in their seat, and bow before them. Lord, whether we can bow or not, we come humbly before you in our hearts, and we say thank you and praise you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, I don't know of a harder week of ministry than I've had this week. Our heart's broken. But thank you. Thank you that you are the God and the Savior of the broken heart. God, men let us down, but Christ never does. Thank you. And I pray that protection around our brother that slipped. I pray that protection around this church and, God, the churches of our association and Avery. And I just pray, God, that you just unite us in the call and the mission of God. I pray for every person around this altar. Lord, this would be a good time, if nobody for sure knows that they're saved, be a good time to give their heart to Jesus Christ while we're all bowing before you. All they have to do is acknowledge their sin, repent, and receive you as their personal Savior. If somebody might be carrying a heavy load, God, they can lay it down right now. God, whatever you're doing, I pray in Jesus' name, be glorified. Use this church as a place and a channel of your love and your mercy and your grace. May people sense the presence of Almighty God when they come, when they pull in the parking lot. And may we make a difference in our community and around the world for Jesus' sake and for His name. God bless every person around this altar. We're so thankful for them. God, I love each and every one of them, and you know that. And I find great comfort in knowing that you love them so much more than I ever could. So I pray in Jesus' name, be glorified, meet every need. In Christ's name and all God's people said, amen. Hug somebody's neck on your way out.